This is Anna Fox reporting for KBOO. Today we are talking about ballot measure 110, which seeks to decriminalize drug possession and fund treatment services. I'm here with Devin and Haven from the Yes on 110 campaign. To get us started, can you folks tell us a little about yourselves and your work?
My name is Devin Downey-Smith. I'm the communications director for the Yes on 110 campaign. I'm also a person in long-term recovery, so this issue is very near and dear to my heart. And I come from a family where a lot of people have struggled with addiction. So I'm really excited about the potential for this measure and how many people can help, because I've seen through my own experience and that of many others that it's really access to treatment that saves lives.
And I'm Haven Wheelock. I'm one of the chief petitioners on Measure 110. And I have worked with people who are actively using primarily heroin and methamphetamines for nearly 20 years at this point. So I began working in harm reduction services in 2002 and have been doing this work here in Oregon since 2013.
How will Measure 110 change the way Oregon treats people dealing with drug addiction?
Right now, if you're carrying substances, you can be charged either with a misdemeanor if you have no prior record. And so it's going to move those charges, just those charges, to a violation, which is a $100 ticket that if someone desires a health screening for, they can actually get that ticket waived. If they are screened and they want access to services, this measure will be providing marijuana tax revenue to fund services to help folks stay alive if they're still using, to get access to drug treatment, and to get the supports that they need when they leave the medical treatment model in the community. Because what we know is, for most folks, the short period of time folks are in treatment is not enough to keep people sustained in their treatment. They need those supports afterwards, the housing, the jobs, the like community, the relationship building. People need to maintain long-term sobriety. And so this will fund all of that, which is just a huge investment that we haven't seen in our state historically. Devin, did I miss anything?
I just think it's so important that we make this shift. I mean, I didn't know until I started working on the campaign that our state ranks last in the nation in access to basic drug treatment. And, you know, what we're doing now isn't working. People are falling through the cracks. People are dying. Haven's known people who've died. I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to from folks in my recovery community who thought, you know, one more time they can handle it, and they never came back. So this measure is urgently needed. And I think that because it will shift us from this punitive approach to drug addiction to a health-based treatment-first approach, that's why so many people across the state are with us. I mean, we've gotten the endorsement of the Oregon Nurses Association, the Oregon School Psychologists Association, Law Enforcement Action Partnership, Crime Victims Right Alliance, Academy of Family Physicians, over 120 groups across the state, because people know across all their different professions that what we're doing now isn't working, and it's making things worse.
Yes, it is quite a wide coalition of folks that are supporting the initiative, and that is really impressive.
Some opponents of the bill say that this reallocation of money will cut off access to treatment through drug courts. What do you have to say to people with this criticism?
So what Measure 110 does is, so when marijuana legalization was originally passed, they projected that the annual revenue from that tax would be between $17 and $40 million tops. And what we've seen is that it's been way more than that, over $100 million a year, and it's projected to grow. So 110 diverts the excess funds from the marijuana revenue. So the first $45 million that has been allocated will stay going where it's going, and then all this extra money will help fund treatment and recovery services.
It doesn't take any money away from drug courts at all. drug courts are not, Measure 110 does nothing for drug courts, at least not in the short term. In my dream world, where everyone has access to treatment and they don't commit crimes because they can get help earlier without the courts, maybe drug courts will go away. But this measure does nothing to affect that pathway that is there. That pathway is still going to be there. It is still going to be strong, and people are still going to get referred to drug court, I promise.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. What steps does the bill take in order to ensure that that money is being used efficiently and that everybody is being taken care of so that every community knows exactly what they need and that those funds are being spent effectively?
Yeah, so one of the most brilliant things about this measure and something that makes me so excited is that there's this oversight and accountability board built into this measure. And this board is made up of healthcare providers, social workers, people most impacted by the war on drugs, people who have experience, lived experience. There's like 17 different categories, all really health focused, which is different than any council currently in Oregon that is working on issues around drugs and alcohol. The Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission is actually chaired by a judge. It is still very much seated in the criminal justice world, where this accountability council is not. It is healthcare providers overseeing how this money goes out. It also is audited every 2 years. And so in those audits, they're going to be looking for, are the services rendered being equitably placed? Are they evidence-based? Are they actually working? And then also reviewing how much money is being saved by the criminal justice system so that that money can be then reinvested into more services for people who are using substances or people trying to gain recovery.
I think the cost factor is a really another important thing to consider. There was a study done by Eco Northwest that found that it takes from the process of arresting someone to processing, prosecuting, all that, it costs nearly $30,000 per person. But to take that same person with that same low-level possession charge and give them access to treatment, that's about $10,000. So it's just a much better use of funds, in addition to it being, you know, a better way to treat people and to align how we deal with addiction with the way that doctors have been saying we need to treat addiction for the last three decades.
What would happen if somebody was to not take the health assessment and choose to simply pay the fine?
People who pay the fine. And that's that. And, you know, I think we need to remember that most people who use substances do not have a substance use disorder, right? So I think about like my friends who are professionals who sometimes party. If they got stopped with their personal use cocaine in their pocket, they don't need treatment. They're fine. If they want to pay the fine and just be done with it, that is their right, right? And if we force those people into treatment, now we've filled a treatment bed with someone who doesn't need to be there. And that's something we hear a lot. Like, there's all these waits for different programs because people are being court ordered there when they probably don't need to be there. My other thing is it is wrong to force medical care on another person that doesn't want it. We wouldn't do that around birth control issues. We don't do that around mental health issues. I have worked with people with severe substance use disorders for a very long time. And this idea that people don't want help is just not true.
There's so much shame and guilt that goes along with active addiction. And arresting someone just contributes to that shame. It contributes to that stigma. And for me, in my own experience with addiction and so many other women that I've worked with, when you're overcome with that shame, you are just driven further into the darkness. You're motivated to use and drink more because you feel so ashamed. And so when we shame people for their addiction, which is a health issue, it's harder to ask for help. They go underground. They're more likely to use alone, where they might overdose and die. Whereas if you're, you know, cited and then you're met with someone saying, hey, let's figure out what's going on. Let's get you some help. What kind of help do you need? Like, that is a way out. That is a way through.
I'm also wondering, as I have heard from some people that think that the legal system in terms of dealing with people with drug addictions, as well as the healthcare system, is fractured right now. And how would Measure 110 make things more streamlined so that people can easily get the help that they need?
So that oversight and accountability board that Haven spoke about, one thing that I love about that and how this measure is set up is that it really provides the flexibility for each community to say, what they need and how this measure can help them. So for some place like Astoria, where I've talked to several nurses and people who live there who say there's nowhere to go, there's no residential treatment, you have to drive to Portland, some people don't have cars, you know, their first need when they apply for a grant will probably be something with residential treatment beds as part of it. But for some place like Portland, where we have Central City Concern and Outside In and Bridges to Change, you know, there's a lot of great existing infrastructure. They're probably going to want more money to expand existing programs, to hire more people, to create more sober housing. So that's a way that, you know, it's not one size fits all approach. The flexibility allows us to heal the fractures where the fractures are in each community.
I also, we haven't brought up the racial justice component on this yet at all. So, I mean, as we know, the war on drugs was designed to incarcerate Black and Brown people. That, like, in its infancy, that was a stated intent by the Nixon administration in creating the war on drugs. So, and because it was created that way, we see racial disparities across the nation, across our state, locally, all of it. However, one of the cool things that this initiative did and that I'm really proud of is we were the first ballot initiative to reach out to the Criminal Justice Commission, which is a commission that can review the racial disparities on any legislation. And we're the first ever ballot initiative to ask them to do that kind of review. Outside of the campaign showed that we would nearly eliminate the racial disparities in arrests associated with drugs possession. That's huge. In a time when, like, you know, Breonna Taylor was killed on a drug warrant, right? George Floyd was mocked while being murdered about his history of drug use. Anything we can do to, like, lessen the evil of white supremacy is important. And I say this as a white lady sitting here, right? Like, we know the war on drugs is a tool of white supremacy. And this is, while it's not eliminating it, it is definitely, like, working to take away some of the power the criminal justice system has. Is there more that needs to be done? Of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'll be the first to say that this measure is huge and it's powerful and it's exciting. And as somebody who's worked in drug policy for over 20 years, it's not the same as ending the war on drugs, but it's moving us in that direction.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oregonians use drugs at the same rate. But Black and Brown people are three times more likely to be stopped, harassed, detained, arrested. So, you know, and we've seen when we defelonized that disparities went down greatly, but now we see those disparities in misdemeanor drug charges. And so this is essentially a way of, you know, stopping drugs as being an excuse to harass people of color. It removes one of those excuses.
Do you folks have any final thoughts, things that you want people to know about Measure 110 and how transformative this would be for people struggling with drug addiction and how it would expand access to treatment for people?
You know, Measure 110 is one of the most hopeful things I've worked on in my career. Some of our opponents think it's too much too soon. I think we as a state are brave and we are strong and we are smart. And we are compassionate and we are kind. And that is why we are voting yes on this, because we do know that we can do something different. Portugal did. There's other examples of places that have done this and it's been effective. And I'm really excited to get to take part in this to help create something new and something better.
You know, it's going to save money and it's going to save lives. It's that simple. And for me as a woman in recovery, the daughter of someone in long-term recovery and a mom myself, I'm also really excited about the potential culture shift that this can create. You know, up until I worked on this campaign, I never shared that I was in recovery, especially professionally. And now I'm realizing that it's done so much healing for me to see that it is a health issue and I don't need to be ashamed and that I can help other people by sharing my experience of being in recovery. And so I would love for my four-year-old daughter to grow up in a world where it's addiction is recognized as a health issue the way we think of, you know, heart disease or diabetes, and where people are met with medical care, love, and compassion, and given the tools they need to get well rather than shamed.
Thank you guys so much for your time. Once again, that was Devin and Haven from the Yes on 110 campaign. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.